would encourage you to take this passage and read through it several times this next week. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to follow along, because I'm going to try to summarize this as well as I can. The thing about this passage is that the whole of the gospel is found in these verses. And not only the whole gospel, but how we live as Christians is found in these verses. So it pretty much covers everything. And we're going to try to dig into it a little bit this morning, and I'll share some things that I've gotten out of it as I've prepared and worked and prayed, and we'll see how this goes. So, but I'm going to go ahead and pray first, and then we'll dig in. So let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you for your incredible love. I want to thank you and praise you for how you communicate that love to us, especially in these verses. And I want to thank you that as we come to understand that love and are filled with that love, that it changes our hearts, and you then tell us to go out and share it and give it away. God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts to these truths this morning. Thank you that you promised to do that as we dig into your word. And I just commit this time to you now and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what might be helpful to remember as we go through this passage. Like I said, I've preached a lot of sermons on this, but I think it can be narrowed down into 3 points. So I'm a Presbyterian minister, and as most of you know, a 3-part sermon is typical Presbyterian. So there are 3 major points that God is communicating to us in this passage. And as you listen to it, as we read it, I hope that you came to realize that the primary subject of these verses is God's love. So God's love is the first point of this passage. It's the subject of all of these verses 7 through 21. The second thing that John wants to talk to us about is, how does God prove his love to us? How do we know this? How can we be confident in this? And the third part is, well, what are we supposed to do with it? So God's love, God's proof, and God's commandment, get out there and give it away. That's the summary of all of these verses. So we'll just take it apart a little bit, and I'll share some truths with you that I gained as I studied this. First of all, the subject of these verses is God's love. 2 times in these verses, John says, God is love. That's who God is. This is a propositional statement about the nature of God. He doesn't say God feels loving towards us, or God is this wonderful, mushy person. He says this is who God is in his very essence and being. This God that we worship is the source and fountain of all of love in the universe. I mean, this is such a profound statement. And John says it twice in these verses. God is love. So as we look at the massive universe that we live in, and as we come to know that better and better through scientific discoveries, we need to remember this. Behind everything that exists is this God of personal love. That's the first thing that John is trying to communicate to us. It's called a propositional statement about the nature and essence and substance of God. He is personal love. Now, we could talk about that for hours, but I'd encourage you to think about it. Propositional statement. There's another propositional statement that John begins his letter with that has to go together with this second propositional statement that we're looking at. God is love, and in chapter 1, if you remember, I don't know how long it's been since you've been in chapter 1, But in chapter 1, John says, God is light. God is light. God is light and God is love. And what John is trying to communicate to us is that God is perfect. There is no shadow of darkness in him. The Bible uses the word holy. God is absolutely holy. He is perfect in everything that he is. His love is perfect. It's complete. It's total. There's no limit to it. So it's a little bit different than our love. Our love, many times, as good as sometimes it can be, but it can be very self-centered. It can be very distorted. We can take that love and turn it into ourselves. And many times you hear things, statements like this: God is love, but love is also God. And John is trying to prevent us from saying that. God is the defining substance of what love is. And our love many times can be distorted, can be not holy, not light. And so we need to remember, if we're going to come to know real love, we've got to come to know this holy God of love and grow in his perfect, absolute love and allow that to change us. So that's the first point of this sermon. God is love. Now the second question is, okay, well, how does he make that known to us? How does he show us? How does he prove to us in a tangible way that he is in fact love? I love musicals. I don't know if you like musicals, but I love musicals. One of my favorite musicals is My Fair Lady. It's great. Great. I won't tell you the whole story because most of you probably know it. But the key character, one of the major characters is Eliza Doolittle. And a guy named Freddie falls in love with her. And Freddie sings this song, "On the Street Where You Live." It's a great song. I love it. Eliza Doolittle's response, if you remember the musical, is, "Don't talk to me about love. Don't give me all these platitudes. Show me. I want to see it." And these next verses in 9 and 10 especially are God's way of saying, here's how I'm going to show it to you, so you can know it without question. Here's how I will prove to you how much I love you. And these verses are loaded. And we're just going to mention them. But look at what he says in verses 9 and 10. That's kind of the heart of it. After he says God is love, then he says, "This is love. God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." That's a profound statement, and most of us know it if we've been a Christian for a while. What did God do to demonstrate his love? The first thing that he did is he said, "I will go down there to that planet that has rejected me and marred my love, and I will send my own Son so that they can see it. And they can know it." My best buddy, Lance Brown, who I went to Whitworth College with, we were roommates. I've known him my whole life. He and I led the Young Life Club at Mead High School together. And guess who went to Mead High School? My brother-in-law, Mark Gronholz. He became a Christian through the Young Life Club that we led. There's more that I can tell you about that, but I don't have time, but maybe next time. But anyways, Lance and I went out to Mead High School to represent Jesus Christ to the kids at Mead High School. Mark became a Christian. We got to disciple him and love him. He's one of my closest friends. But Lance, my buddy, has just written a book that I thought, I don't feel like a book salesman, but I just want to promote this. And because it communicates this truth. The title of the book is God with Skin On. The subtitle is Encountering the God You Always Hoped Existed. God with Skin On. It's a story, kind of a parable, about how two sons get lost up at Mount Rainier, which is a White River campground, is where, and if you've ever been up there, it's one of my favorite places. They get lost, their dad almost drowns, and the story is a story about how God makes himself known to these two kids and saves them. It's fictional, but it's really, really good. God with Skin On, and it stresses this great truth. How do we know God loves us? Because he came to us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He became one of us, and he made himself known to us. That's the first thing that God's done, but why did he come? Now, we know all of this, I hope. This is not new. Most of preaching, by the way, is just reminding us of what we already know. So why did he come? Well, John gives this description here that is so deep. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If you remember my dad, Harry McDonald, you know that one of his words that he stressed over and over again is a word that's actually in the Greek found here, propitiation. And that's the word that John uses here. God sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins, to take the sin that you and I have committed and to lay it on his own son, Jesus Christ, and to condemn it in his son, and then offer us forgiveness. And it cost his very life. And there's no way that we're ever going to comprehend that completely. We have an amen back there. But this is, in essence, John is saying this. If you ever questioned God's love, get your eyes back on the cross. Get your eyes back on what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because through Jesus Christ, John Stott in his great book, The Cross of Christ, says this. God consumed sin, he condemned it, and he conquered it in Jesus Christ. And how do I know that God loves me? Look at the cross and never forget it. One of my favorite authors is a guy named Brennan Manning. Maybe you've heard of him. He's written about 10, 12, 15 books. He was a Catholic priest who eventually became laicized. He moved from the Catholicism to Anglicanism. He struggled with alcohol his whole life. Deeply, deeply committed Christian. You can't read his books without just going, man, does this guy love God or what? But Brennan Manning, in one of his books that I just love, it's called The Furious Longing of God, tells a story about when he went through a very hard time in his life and began to wonder whether God loved him and just couldn't see it or hear it or feel it. And he thought, I'm going to go up into the mountains and I'm going to find a cave. He was a kind of a mystic type guy. And I'm going to stay in that cave for at least a month until God speaks to me and assures me of his love, because I just feel lost. So he's in that cave for a whole month, he says. Doesn't hear a word from God for a month and decides he's going to get up and walk out of the cave. And as he walks out, he says, I heard an audible voice from God say this to me, Brennan, it's for love of you that I gave my own son. And Brennan's response, which is what I feel sometimes, he answered by saying, what, are you crazy, God? Are you crazy? Do you know who I am and what I've been through and what I've done to you? Are you crazy? And he refers to a phrase by Catherine of Siena, a great mystic, who says this, God is crazed with love for you. He is crazed with love for you. And that's what these verses are trying to communicate. You might not understand everything that propitiation means. You might not comprehend all of the theories of what took place at the cross, but you can know this through all of it. There is no limit to his love. He has proved it to you once and for all. And I would encourage you to do this, which is what I've done this last week myself. Take this statement that Brennan gives, look at the verses, and go, put your name in there and say, it's for love of you, God is saying to you, that I gave my only son. And then maybe you can respond by going, what, are you crazy, God? God is crazy in love with us. And that's what these verses are trying to say. So the third point, okay, so what do we do with this? God's love, God's proof, now God's command. God says, now I want you to take this love and I want you to give it away. Share it. Give it to others. That's why I told you about my life. The only right that love has is to give it away. My brother, he played at my dad's memorial service, Tom McDonald, maybe some of you remember. He's a professional musician. We had a group when I was in high school called the Limac Trio, and we sang all over the place. We lived in Brazil, and we sang everywhere, and then we came back and sang at the Young Life Ranches. My brother continued on as a professional. That's what he does. He's done it all these years. One of the first songs that he ever wrote, which was really good, was all about love. Now, this sounds a little crude, but my brother was a little weird. He titled the song about love, Brown Heaps. Brown Heaps. You're going, what is that? Because he heard one time somebody say, love is like manure. It's only good if you spread it around. One of those things that I've never forgotten. And that's in essence what John is saying here. Don't just hang on to this. You got to give it away. Share it. And as you share it, you know what's going to happen? Your love will become more and more complete. You will be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit. Your heart will be transformed by God's love, and you will naturally give it away. I want to close with this illustration. I don't know if I've... I can't tell how long I've gone because I haven't preached in so long. So if somebody wants to go, time. But this meant an especially lot to me this last week as I studied this. Many of you know my mom, Hope McDonald. I love her to pieces. She's turning 96 the end of this next month in May. She's living in an adult family home. She is flat on her back in bed 24/7. Can't move, can't get out. can't walk around. Her mind is nearly gone. You can't have a conversation with her because it just goes all over the place. But you know what? She is absolutely filled with love. You ask anybody there at the adult family home and they will say, "We love your mom because she makes us feel so loved." And I thought of that because that's what this passage is saying. As you are filled with God's love, as you allow His Spirit to indwell you and empower you and begin to give it away, my mom has done that her whole life. And even though her mind is gone, she's written 5 books about prayer and obedience and angels and heaven. I ask her about heaven now and she doesn't have a clue. What's that? Well, you know, Dad's up in heaven. Where's that? My dad, my Harry, I mean, it's just not there. But her heart has been transformed by love. And I go see her at least once a week, and every time I walk out of there, she's able to tell me, even though her mind doesn't work, "Oh, I love you, Danny. I love you so much." And she shares that with the people there at the adult family home. Why? Because her heart has been transformed by a lifetime of walking with God and allowing His love to fill her heart and knowing Him better and better, and now it just comes out of her. That's what John is trying to share with us here. Who is God? Not some feeling, not some idea. He is personal, infinite, perfect, complete love. How do I know that? Because He gave His own Son for me. He's crazed with love. How does that change me? As I grow into that and come to know it better and better by a lifetime relationship with this God, then He changes my heart and says, "Now go out and give it away any way you can. With your spouse, with your friends, with your kids, with your grandkids, and someday with my great-grandkids." That's what we're called to do. So I hope this passage speaks to you as it's spoken to me. And I'm going to close with just a word of prayer, and then we'll continue through our service. But thanks for listening. And I would encourage you to take this passage and read over it a bunch of times this next week. And ask God to speak to you personally, because that's what He wants to do. So let me pray. Father, thank You that You love us so much. Thank You that we'll never comprehend how much You do love us. Thank You that we'll never understand completely what You've done for us at the cross. But thank You that it proves to us that there's no limit to Your love. And help us to share it with a hurting world that needs to hear it so desperately. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.